Would you all introduce yourselves, please? Let's do it from stage right.
Right. This is Taylor Armstrong, and I play guitar.
Hi, this is Matt Bogdanow, and I play drums.
This is Dan Ingala, and I am the producer slash singer.
Based on your website, from what I can tell, you want to be very likable. How un-rock and roll of you to want to be a likable rock and... Let's start right there. You want to be likable.
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I think people like people who, you know... I mean, if they like you, they like you. You like people liking you.
That's it.
Well,
Best material. You go out of your way to put this on your website, and this is the best material you've got.
As much as I will ever try, I will never be rock and roll, in the classic sense. So I'm just gonna be myself as I, you know, go up front and stage, and you know, it's who I am is a genuinely geeky guy. So. It's like, if you like the music, you'll probably like me.
You know, if the rest of the thing doesn't work, geeky guy.
Yes.
You know, it sounds like you're very good in Japan.
Hopefully,
oh,
yeah.
We love geeky guy. Geeky guy, really good band. Is this now officially a band?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
So describe to me where it went from being Daniel Project to band.
It was a slow transition. I mean, a lot of the songs, you know, were bedroom based. I think that when it started to become more of a live act was when I realized I needed to rely on other people to play instruments that I couldn't do with.
So basically, if you would never had to play live and you were just recording, F the rest of these guys.
I guess we never had to come to that point, but maybe. Well, no, they've actually, in the record now, we started to, instead of just being me in my bedroom, now I have everyone in the band play parts on the record. And
We fought our way on.
It definitely, yeah.
With sad faces and puppy eyes.
Now, is everybody originally from Brooklyn?
No.
Okay,
None
so take
us.
Me take
None
me through. Yeah. So take me through the gestation and how you all kind of landed up in hip, groovy, cool Brooklyn.
Well,
where do you all come from originally? And
we're all from Boston area, actually.
Okay. Well, while these two guys were growing up in Linfield, I grew up in Lexington, Massachusetts. So I grew up in Lexington. I went to school in Boston. I went to music school at Berkeley, and then
that place.
I don't know. Maybe you've heard of it. And then somehow accidentally graduated. Just stayed there too long and ended up with a diploma.
And so, how did you get from to no, you know, I mean, come on.
That's a good question. I mean,
people will understand what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, that's what Berkeley is known for.
I mean, jazz is a great way to just learn about music and learn about work ethic. And
oh, sorry. I was in the middle solo in the middle of the jazz tune there.
The Buddy Rich thing. We could trade. You want to trade fours a little bit?
No, go ahead.
A little scat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, let's not.
So yeah, I mean, Berkeley was a great place to just, you know, get fundamentals down and study the craft of drumming, and you can apply those things in any style, and you know, rock is a style that's the most fun to.
There are more great rock musicians that have come out of Berkeley and Juilliard, by the way, because that's what they did, is they learned how to compose.
Right. Yep.
You know, instead of just three chords, they actually know three and a half chords, and that you know, that helps things just a smidge anyway.
It's true. You even learn minor chords at Berkeley.
Right? Yeah.
I know Dan knows at least one of those.
Minor sevenths, even.
Yeah.
Amazing. His project took off in a pretty modern way because of placement in an internet TV series. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that much. Did you know anything about We Need Girlfriends? Because I certainly didn't know a damn thing about it.
Yeah, We Need Girlfriends. When Steve, the writer, came to me and asked to use some of the music in the series, I didn't know anything about it. Then I checked it out, and
so you didn't know anything about it.
I didn't know anything about it at the time. I mean, it was something that I was completely out of the world of internet TV, and I researched it, and it had this huge cult following. Like, this very specific group of people were obsessed with it, and it had a phenomenal following for an internet TV show. And,
so for a phenomenal following for an internet TV show is like 10,000 people or something like that.
Well, they would get up to like a million hits per episode.
Right. You know what a hit is, right?
Yeah,
somebody watching it goes, oh, cool, next.
Right.
You know, but that's okay. the name of the band. I think new James Bond movie with, you know, fur and velvet everywhere. You know,
that's cool.
Right, the new Ian Fleming thing, Plush Gun.
Yeah.
Did you, what names did you go through to get to Plush Gun for the project?
There was a lot.
Tell me some of the worst ones.
One of them was the O Dark 100.
Yeah, I know.
Like O Dark.
Did everybody hear the air sucked out of the room? Right? It just like we couldn't breathe there because all the air aliens took the air out of the room at that moment in time.
Another one was the Street Beat Noir, which was, you know, a bit of a mouthful.
Good thing this is radio because people could see the expressions.
We settled with Plush Gun. We thought it was a cool combination of words. It was juxtaposition. It had a cool contradictory meaning, so I liked it.
How did the glow sticks start? I mean, it was fun to watch adults at CMJ waving glow sticks. So how did the glow sticks start?
I guess glow sticks were just a way to say, you know, just have fun. Like, we're just so sick of people just sitting and watching us and, like,
I'm,
you know,
watching a rock and roll show.
Just, like, having this sort of too cool for school attitude of, I mean, if you give someone a glow stick, they're immediately, they get interested immediately in whatever's going on because no matter how old you are, you're just going to wave it around and, like, you know, whip people with it. People become kids again in a way.
Too.
Yeah, it starts conversations.
As soon as
and
we just snap them up. Everyone just starts
sporting. How many glow sticks have you given out at gigs so far?
Probably like 300. It's a relatively new thing.
400.
So you don't own like the glow stick company.
We have we are not lobbied by the glow stick industry.
I see. Based on your reviews, you are the big description is the word infectious.
Yeah.
Is it good to be infectious?
I think it's a double edged sword. I mean, it's good. Because,
that's become the buzzword for the band, though, right? They're infectious.
It's like, you know, you hear a Plush Gun song a lot of times. Like, even myself, it just stays in your head, and whether you love it or hate it, it's going to be there. So, I mean, I guess it's like it could be. It's a good thing because people will remember it, and if they like it, they're not bothered by it. But if they don't like it, it's like having a commercial jingle in your head. So, I mean, it's a double edged sword. So far, I like it, though. I like the infectious thing. That's how it spreads.
You know, I mean, I play Six Decades of Rock and Roll on Friday nights, and I was joking with somebody today that, you know, a lot of the oldie stations have gone away, but I'm still busy playing, you know, real power pop and playing the Partridge Family, you know, next to Led Zeppelin, next to, you know, Meatloaf, next to people, they either bitch, but in the end, they love it because a good song's a good song.
Exactly.
And speaking of good songs and power pop and friends of mine, those TMBG, those They Might Be Giant guys are one of your top friends on MySpace. Are you big fans?
I was definitely a huge. That was the first CD I ever bought when I was 8 years old. Was the name of a giant CD.
The full length isn't out here. I've read both ways, January and February.
Right, it's February now.
Yeah, we're doing this interview in late November. So is that part of a grand marketing plan to push the single or the remixes or the EP first? Is that the dealy whacker?
Yeah, we wanted to sort of take our time with putting it all together. And
But is there like a plan? Is it kind of like, well, let's get Just Impolite out there and then let's get a remix out there and let's get this going and get the buzz going and then people will actually want the record? Is that?
Yeah, I think we definitely wanted to start with the EP. The goal was to start just people talking in the industry with radio and college radio, all that stuff. Now that we're leading up to the release of the record, I think the goal is now just to get the songs onto the mainstream. So the buzz will grow there for you know, regular people and not just like the in folk. And so like when the album comes out, people will have heard of it rather than just entering the scene in a complete blind.
We're here! Yeah.
Shot in the dark.
Okay. Let's get to the music. Just Impolite, How We Roll. Are these just fun songs or do they have deep, dark, inside, secret decoder ring level meaning that I'm missing because they just seem like fun songs?
There's definitely a dark side. There's definitely a dark side to them.
Oh, come on. Take me through. Tell me the really dark side of Just Impolite.
The dark side of Just Impolite is that, well, I mean, essentially, the song is about a breakup and about really a relationship where there's no right answer. There's no way to say goodbye, but there's also no way you know it's not going to work out. And it's just about like the consistent state of ambivalence, and it's kind of like a prison. So I mean, basically, you know, obsessive calling back and forth, that whole thing. It's a bit stalkerish. It's a bit, you know, yeah. I guess that's really the story behind the song. It's just when you put it behind a really catchy synth upbeat sound, it's not as dark.
Union Pool is such an in song.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that play in, say, Westport or even more or less hip places? Like when you go to, let's see, I always get in trouble when I pick a city. When you go to Paducah, I don't even know where Paducah is, you know, who have no idea about the scene or the shows or the grooviness of the Union Pool, you know, what happens? Or do you think that perhaps there is a scene like that most everywhere under a different name?
I think it's more the latter. I actually think that people who go to Union Pool probably would get pissed off by the song because
it makes fun of just how incredibly groovy and cool they are.
Yeah, and try to be. And that's like, you know, I love Williamsburg. I love it. I think that everywhere though you find people that try to fit in too hard or too much. That's like grammar is suffering from our drive. But I mean, there's everywhere, I think, and most major cities, there's certainly a scene like that, and there's certainly somebody that you knew that sort of sinks into it, and sometimes you find yourself sinking into it too.
How did you come upon this Andrew WK guy to do a remix?
That is, that was our A&R guy was just
that's
really
a very
psyched about that.
Different. You know, his remix mm-hmm. of is completely it's definitely to sound hip and groovy. It's definitely deconstructive.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's very postmodern.
Yes.
And I think you know, our A&R guy through a series of connections through the label, they wanted to sort of get a bunch of remixes out there because it is dance music in the end. It's dance pop. So let's get some ultra dance sounding versions. And one connection that we had to Andrew WK was telling us that he was starting to do remixes. So we thought it'd be fun. It would be a fun experience to see what he would make of our track.
So we do a thing called a musical sandwich. What we do is we take two of your songs as the bread, and then we put songs by other bands in between. And after people hear us talk, there will be 40 minutes of no interruption and just the music that we're about to talk about.
Okay, I think we were thinking of Just Impolite and Crush to Pass the Time.
Oh, did somebody prepare you for this?
Oh, yeah, we got the thing from him.
Oh, they're prepared. Ooh, that's fine. So now you
or
have to
we
each...
go with Let Me Kiss You Now?
Ooh, you know what? Let's talk about it.
Talk about it, actually. Should we go with Let Me Kiss You Now?
Let's do a Crush to Pass the Time.
Crush to Pass the Time. Yeah. Okay, we talked about it.
Wow, that was that. There was such refraction in the room as a result of the changement. There. Right. Changement. That's my new word. You like
changement,
that?
Yeah.
Refraction and changement. You like
changement.
That?
Is that an Obama word?
Yes, it is. I made that up. Changement and refraction. You like that?
I do.